Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dajon Hughes.
Good morning on this Saturday morning. Welcome back to another episode of Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. I am your host, Dajon Hughes, and we're about to get ready to talk all things Michigan sports for the next hour. And fall is pretty much here. The gridiron is back in action. We're going to be talking NFL. We're going to be talking college football. And, of course, we're still going to get on the diamond and talk about our Detroit Tigers before we get into our picks. Now, as always, going to update you on me. I'm doing well. I'm excited. My birthday's coming up next week, so I'm excited to have the double entourage of birthday weekend, since it's in the middle of the week. This upcoming weekend and next weekend are my birthday weekends. So I'm going to enjoy those, taking in some lacrosse this weekend as I'm going to be out in Philly, won't be returning until the middle of the week. And then also high school football got started Thursday night. We had a blowout of a game between Harper Creek and Lakeview, 35-0. But it was a lot of fun to be back in the booth with Jacob, who we're hoping to get back in here for Mitten Madness at some point and to take in some high school football. So obviously we'll get you the schedule that's coming up for the weekend and what we got going on next week with the sports here on WBCK at the end of the episode. But I am doing fantastic. Before we, Micah Parsons is a Packer, so the Packers are going to be looking fantastic this year. I'm excited. I like all the moves that they made in the offseason. So I think football might be good to me this year, but there's only time to tell. Now that we've gotten through our obligatory intro, we're going to talk about one of the most exciting parts of being in Michigan right now, the Detroit Tigers. But before we do that, we're going through the standings. At the top of the AL West, the Houston Astros 74-60. The Texas Rangers are in third at 68-67, 6.5 games behind the Astros. 72-62, 2 games behind the Astros are the Seattle Mariners. In the East, in the AL, Toronto Blue Jays still atop at 78-56. The New York Yankees are 74-60. They're 4 games behind the Blue Jays for third. And the Boston Red Sox, 3.5 games behind the Blue Jays at 75-60. Meanwhile, in the AL Central, at the bottom, Chicago White Sox, 48-86, 29.5 games behind the leaders. 60-73 for fourth place, 17 games behind the leaders, the Minnesota Twins. The Cleveland Guardians, third place, 66-66, 10.5 games behind the leaders. And the Royals, now sitting in second place in the AL Central, 69-65, 8.5 games behind the team in first place, which is none other than our Detroit Tigers at 78-57. In the NL, in the Central, the Milwaukee Brewers, 83-52, still remain the best team in baseball at the moment. They are 6.5 games better than the Cubs, who are 76-58. The Cincinnati Reds are 68-66, 14.5 games behind the Brewers. In the East, the Philadelphia Phillies fighting strong to remain atop, 77-57 on the year, 5 games above the Mets, who are 72-62. And coming in third, the Miami Marlins, 63-71, 14 games behind the Phillies. And wrapping things up on the NL side, in the West, the Dodgers, 77-57. They are 2 games above the Padres, who are 75-59. And in third place, the San Francisco Giants at 66-68, 11 games behind the Dodgers. Overall, the best teams in baseball, the Milwaukee Brewers at the top, but then it's pretty much all AL from there. The Blue Jays and Tigers, followed by the Phillies and Dodgers, and back to the Cubs and Padres. So really, Blue Jays and Tigers holding it down for the AL, and the NL is dominating the top of the rankings. Detroit currently sits second in the AL. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. You can pretty much lock in their playoff spot as we're stepping into September, which is exciting news. We can begin to prepare for the playoffs. And as long as the bats continue going, I think the defense and the pitching will be just fine. And this team has a fantastic chance of going on to make a solid playoff run. But before we can even do all of that, We got to talk about what happened this past week. Computer's running a little slow here, so haven't quite got the scores up yet. But I do know that the Tigers were swept by the A's. They were swept by the A's. You cannot allow yourselves to be swept by the Athletics. You really can't allow yourself to be swept by anybody at any point in the season. But that is only the third time the Tigers have been swept this year, so that's not a huge deal. They swept the Astros. First off, they got the 3 out of 4 wins against the Twins, which was huge to take control of that series. Then they swept the Astros 10-0, 1-0, 7-2. And then they went 2-1 against the Royals, 7-5, 4-2, and then dropped the last game 10-8. And then they took that loss into the Oakland A's series where they were on the road, which plays a huge difference, into 8-3 loss, 7-6 loss, 7-0 loss, and a 3-game sweep by the Oakland Athletics. It always hurts when a team is able to grab the brooms out. It always hurts when a team is able to grab the brooms out and is able to make sense of your team. And is able to hold you scoreless in a game, hold you to 3 runs in a game, but then they give up 6 runs in a game, but they somehow manage to score 7. The whole idea is that you got to score one more run, at least one more run, than the team across from you. The Oakland Athletics figured out how to do that 3 days in a row against the Tigers, which is not an easy feat. When you look through the year, there aren't too many teams that were able to get 3 losses in a row on the Tigers, and there aren't too many times that they've lost so many games in a row. They're on a 4-game losing streak right now, one of their longest of the season. And all you need is a few bounce back games, right? Like, all you need is to win one and then things are right back to normal. The Tigers are going to be looking to do that as their schedule continues on. Their weekend series this weekend, which starts last night, 8:10 p.m. Paddock against Lugo. 7:15 p.m. later today on Fox, Flaherty will go against unannounced. And then Sunday, August 31st, Scooble going against Watcha at 2:10 p.m. All three of these games are going down in Kansas City, as obviously we just played them not too long ago and came out with a 2-1 series lead. They will be looking for revenge in this game. And I can't imagine that the Tigers are going to, you know, just let them have it. It's going to be interesting to see how this series will run out. If the Tigers are able to win this series at Kauffman Stadium, then they're going to be in good shape because their next series over Labor Day weekend, which will be Labor Day and then Tuesday and Wednesday, is against the New York Mets. Morton will take the mound on MLB Network against Manea, and then Casey Mize will be on the mound on that Tuesday matchup against McLean, and then 1:10 p.m. on MLB Network, Paddock will take on Holmes before the Tigers have a series with the Chicago White Sox next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, where Flaherty, Scooble, and Morton will all see the mound again against the White Sox. These three series are all winnable. I think the most important one to look at here out of these three is New York. Okay, I'll take a step back. The Kansas City Royals series, huge. Right, it is a divisional series, but also you're coming off of a loss to the Royals in your most recent game, and then you got swept in the ensuing series after. That's huge, and it makes a big deal. You got to come out and win at least one of these games. You would love to see 2 or 3 to get back in the winning column in terms of series before you step into a series against the Mets. The good thing about your series against the New York Mets is it is at home. You're playing that game in Comerica Park where you have been uberly successful on the year. So that should bring some comfort to you, along with that Red Sox or that White Sox series, which is also going to be at Comerica Park. Having 6 straight games in your home stadium plays a huge part, especially at this time of the year before they have to go on again to play on the road. This time they're playing the other New York team at Yankee Stadium for 3 games in a row. So there's some tough matchups coming up. And honestly, depending on how the Kansas City Royals matchup goes, things could look completely different for this team in a matter of a few weeks, because you drop that series and you roll into the New York Mets series not feeling good against a playoff team that is battling in their division for the division lead and trying to win that pennant. You could be in trouble and find yourself in a serious slump headed into the one of the most important parts of the year. You want to be playing some of your best ball at the end of September into October so you can be ready for postseason baseball. this could start a tremendous domino downfall that we don't want to see as Tigers fans, where they start losing series left and right and the bats aren't going. The pitching eventually gets caught up to, because if you're pitching all the time with no help, you can go out there and, you know, pitch a one hitter. But if that one hitter is a home run and your team isn't putting any runs on the board, you lose. You lose. So the bats have to continue going for the Tigers. And I think that this team will be just fine. I do think that they will make a playoff run, but it's only a matter of time before we truly find out what that's going to look like. Looking at the batting leaders, it's Riley Green still absolutely dominating for the Detroit Tigers. He's sitting at a .266 at batting average. His OBP, .321. Slugging percentage is .514. Home runs, Riley's Green, he's got 32 of them. And you know he's got 99 runs batted in. He's leading all three of the batting statistical categories for the Tigers. And that's a big reason why he was an all-star and is helping them continue to have success on the baseball diamond. On the mound, Tarek Skubal, 2.28, excuse me, on that ERA. He's got 11 wins on the year and 212 strikeouts. They would have the Triple Crown for the Tigers if it wasn't for Casey Mize, who is sitting at 12 wins on the year, but he has a 3.95 ERA and only 107 strikeouts. I mean, either way, if you got aces like this, Flaherty's back found his groove, you have a great chance of continuing to find yourself in success. So we're going to look and see what the Tigers have over the next couple of weeks. We're about to get ready to talk about college football when we get back for the break. Before we talk about the Lions, Michigan and Michigan State, Big Ten, ACC, SEC, and everyone else is out in action as it is week one. We'll be back with more Mid Madness after the break on 95.3 WBCK. Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to talk some college football. The gridiron is back in the college ranks. The teams have already hit the field, some in week zero. Some are going to be hitting the field for the first time this weekend in week one. We're going to go through a quick tally of some things that have already gone down in week one slash zero, because there was plenty that went down. Last Saturday, August 23rd, Iowa State took down Kansas State by 3, 24-21, in what ended up being a thriller of a game in the Aer Lingus College Football Classic over in Dublin, Ireland. UNLV took down Idaho State 38-31. Jordan Cooks finds Ian Dort for a 64-yard TD to end up taking the lead in that game. Jay Thomas, the running back for UNLV, had 10 carries for 147 yards and three tutties in this game. Bradley, a receiver for UNLV, also had six receptions and 131 yards to lead them in the reception category. Kansas came out and throttled Fresno State 31-7. Neither team scored in the fourth quarter, but it didn't matter. Fresno State put up seven in the first and then never saw the end zone again. Kansas off to a great start to the year. Western Kentucky doing their thing against Sam Houston State as they start conference play 1-0, 41-24. They had no problems with the Cougars as they just about ran away with this one in this home game. And then Hawaii comes out with a upset as they dominated Stanford behind Micah Aljado 23-20. Aljado went 27-39 for 210 yards and two TDs. Meanwhile, Ford for Stanford at 26 carries, 113 yards, and a TD himself. Hawaii wins 23-20. Now, on Thursday this week, more happenings went down. South Florida told us that Boise State ain't making it back to the college football playoff this year. 25 ranked Broncos lose 34-7. The Broncos took the lead in the first quarter, 7-0, held that lead into the second, and then South Florida took a 10-7 lead in the half and never looked back. They dropped 14 coming out of the break in the third quarter and eventually go on to win big. Rutgers come out with a tough victory in Piscataway over Ohio, 34-31. the MAC looking like they're going to be competing with people this year, as Ohio gave Rutgers everything they could. The only difference was a field goal in the fourth quarter from the Scarlet Knights. Bowling Green beats Lafayette 26-7. North Carolina State handles East Carolina 24-17 in what probably ended up being a closer game than many other people would thought. Hauser for East Carolina went 30 of 44 for 366 yards and a TD. Smothers, the running back for North Carolina State, 22 carries, 76 yards, and a TD for himself. UCF beats Jacksonville State 17-10. Delaware takes down Delaware State 35-17. Wyoming 10-0 over Akron. What a game. A field goal was the only lead Wyoming had at halftime, 3-0. And then they scored a touchdown in the fourth, giving them a comfortable 10-0 win. Missouri handles business against Central Arkansas 61-6. Duke wins 45-17 over Elon. Oklahoma State 27-7 over UT Martin. Minnesota wins another football game. Their 23 points were enough to take down the Buffalo Bulls. Yeah, Buffalo Bulls. Who only scored 10. They scored in the second and third quarters, and that was it. Minnesota put up 10 in the second and fourth, and they had a lone field goal in the third. Nebraska just barely squeezes past Cincinnati at Arrowhead Stadium, which turned out to be one of the best games that Nebraska could have asked for. They went down early 3-0. Then they had scored 13 points in the second and erupted to take a 13-3 lead. That 10-point lead seemed to be safe until Cincinnati scored in the third, shortened it to 3. And then a touchdown by the both of them in the fourth had this game tight. And then a game-sealing pick for the Cornhuskers is what gave them the win. Dylan Raiola, 33 of 42, 243 yards and two tutties to lead the Cornhuskers to victory. Wisconsin handles Miami, Ohio, no problems, 17-0. Their quarterback, O'Neal, goes 12 of 19, 120 yards, and a TD on the day. San Diego State wipes the floor with Stony Brook, 42-0. I don't know why Michigan didn't play Jaden Denegal at all, because he went out there and went 13 of 25 for 208 yards and a TD in this game. His running back Sutton goes for 22 carries, 100 yards, and two TDs on the ground as well. They're looking like a well-oiled machine so far to start their year. Some of the games you guys saw last night that I didn't get a chance to see before I recorded this: Western and Michigan State playing on FS1 at 7 p.m. up at Spartan Stadium in East Lansing. Western Illinois will take on the 12-ranked Illini from Illinois at Memorial Stadium in Champaign, as the Illini will look to get another great season in and maybe try and get into the college football playoffs. Central Michigan will take on San Jose State tonight, 10:30 p.m. on FS1. That game's going to be all the way out in San Jose. Auburn and Baylor going down on Fox at 8 p.m. Kansas stepping down on the gridiron again against Wagner, 7:30 p.m. on ESPN+. But this weekend, Saturday, that's where all the real love is. A lot of these games I'm going to be picking later on in the show, so I won't dive super deep into them. Alabama and Florida State, this game's going to be down in Tallahassee, 3:30 p.m. on ABC. Number 9-ranked LSU versus number 4-ranked Clemson, 7:30 p.m. on ABC from Memorial Stadium in Clemson, South Carolina. 7:30 p.m. on NBC and Peacock. We got Michigan at the Big House in Ann Arbor taking on New Mexico. It's 14th-ranked team in the country. Number 1 versus number 3 in Columbus, Ohio at Ohio Stadium, noon on Fox. Big noon game of the weekend, Texas, Ohio State. Noon on ABC, Syracuse and Tennessee. Tennessee coming in ranked 24th for the year. And just trying to look through, see if there's any other reasonable games that we actually want to keep our eyes on. Oregon's going to play Montana State on BTN at 4 p.m. for their first game of the year. Florida will take on Long Island University. Texas A&M taking on UTSA. Kansas State against North Dakota. But really, that's most of what we're going to get for Saturday. Hawaii and Arizona, TNT and HBO Max from Arizona Stadium in Tucson. at 10:30 p.m. Utah and UCLA, 11 p.m. on Fox. We get some Sunday and Monday college football this week. Notre Dame, Miami, Sunday, 7:30 p.m. on ABC from Hard Rock Stadium. 6th-ranked Notre Dame versus 10th-ranked Miami. South Carolina will play in the Aflac kickoff in Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta, Georgia against Virginia Tech, at 3 p.m. on ESPN on Sunday. And then on the first, Labor Day, 8 p.m. on ESPN, TCU and North Carolina will play from Keenan Stadium in Chapel Hill as Bill Belichick gets his college debut. Now that we're all through that, you know what team and what game I want to talk about. It's Saturday. It's 7:30 p.m. It's in Ann Arbor at the Big House. It's Michigan taking on New Mexico. The Lobos are only being given a 2.5% chance of coming out with the upset over Michigan in this game. It's expected to be 69 degrees. Nice. When this game starts over in Ann Arbor later today at 7:30 p.m. This game will also be played on WBCK later today as well. The game opened up with Michigan being 34.5-point favorites. That spread remains. The game opened up as 49.5 points over-under. That also remains, but there's no money line for this game at the moment. I don't know if the Lobos are going to be able to do anything to win this game, even with the uncertainty that sits at the quarterback position for the Michigan Wolverines. I just don't. I mean, 2.5% is low, and it's that low for a reason. Obviously, we don't have anybody to go off of, but when you look at these two teams in comparison, Colorado State beat the Lobos 17-6, Wyoming beat them 49-45, and they lost to Hawaii 38-30. And they haven't played since that game, which was at the end of November, the end of the season. They did not play in their conference championship game or in a bowl game. They did beat Washington State 38-35 and San Diego State 21-16. But when you look at the other side, Michigan did lose 38-17 to Oregon and then 20-15 to Indiana. Both of those teams were playoff teams last year. So scratching your head at what? And then they beat Northwestern 50-6, went out and beat the national champions 13-10 before then beating perennial powerhouse Alabama 19-13 on New Year's Eve. Michigan is obviously more poised. We know the talent that they have all over the field. We saw what they did in the transfer portal. We saw what they did in the recruiting trail. They had one of the highest recruiting classes in the entire country, especially when you add them to those transfers that they brought in during the recruiting process as well. Bryce Underwood is going to be the fourth freshman to start at the University of Michigan when they take on New Mexico. Obviously, that's the big question on the board, is how well will Bryce Underwood play? None of us know. None of us can even take a guess at what we're going to get from Bryce Underwood. We're just going to have to find out once he steps on the field. But what we do know is that the running back room has not been figured out yet. In fact, the running back room is getting split carries between Justice Haynes and Jordan Marshall. So there may be a two running back system that is just as potent as they had with Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum and Hassan Haskins, Khalil Mullings and Donovan Edwards. It does not matter. They always have running backs there, because you know, as a running back, you're getting handed the ball because they love to run the ball at Michigan. So I'm excited to see what they're going to do. We're going to be back after the break to talk more football, this time the NFL variety, with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
Detroit sports fans, Wolverines and Spartans alike, this is your sports show, Mitten Madness, with Jacob Harrison and Dejon Hughes on 95.3 WBCK.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to talk about the Detroit Lions as we get ready for the first week of the NFL season. They did lose their last two playoff or preseason games of the year. They lost to the Dolphins 24-17. They also dropped their game to the Texans 26-7. I don't think any of these are huge deals, mainly because it is the preseason, and the preseason means absolutely nothing. Does everybody remember when the Detroit Lions went 0-16? They went 4-0 in the preseason that year. And I also remember that there was a Chiefs team and an Eagles team that went 0-4 in the preseason and then turned around and won the Super Bowl. So why are we putting so much validity into the preseason when it literally means absolutely nothing? What you really have to be most worried about is the beginning of the year and how that goes, right? The Lions have a tough start to the year. They start the year with two divisional games. They play the Packers and they play the Bears. They're on the road against the Packers and they're at home against the Bears before going on the road against the Ravens. That's one of the toughest first three games I've ever seen. What's one of the toughest three game stretches in general? But to start your season with two divisional games and then you have to go play a perennial Super Bowl contender with a three-time MVP in Lamar Jackson, what is going on? Of course, the Lions are going to have to come out hot. And I think that's why you saw them be even a little more cautious when it came to having their starters out on the field in the preseason, letting them get a few reps in, of course, and you know, get their touches in and get warmed up. But realistically, they weren't going to see a bunch of the field because they want them to be ready. They want them to be poised for what's going to be coming their way because you're getting hit in the mouth right away. You're playing a divisional rival that hates you. Let's be honest here, that hates you, and you hate them. Week one, you don't have time for the mistakes. You don't have time for the mental lapses. You don't have time to make stupid penalties and do things that you shouldn't do. You got to be ready to go because you might lose the divisional crown week one, especially if you lose week two. You lose week one and week two, see ya. There goes the NFC North crown. It ain't yours anymore. You might have had it for 2 years, but it ain't yours this year. The Lions better be ready. I mean, there's no surprise of what's going to happen in week one. Micah Parsons is going to be coming for Jared Goff. Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary, and the rest of this Packers defense is going to have their eyes locked in on Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, David Montgomery, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Jameson Williams, and the rest of this Lions offense, hoping to stall them, hoping to give them an early NFC North loss, and then hoping to send them back home to Detroit in Ford Field to take on the Bears, where the Bears are maybe able to take out and you know, get an upset. And now the Lions are looking at a two-loss hole in the NFC North just 2 weeks into the season. Now, I'm not going to wish that upon them as a Packers fan. Y'all know how I'm wishing on week one will go. But week two, I do think the Lions have more than enough to take down the Bears, and they should take down the Bears. The biggest thing, though, will be how do you start the year without both of your coordinators. Not literally without both of your coordinators, but over the offseason, both their offensive and defensive coordinators, Aaron Glenn and Ben Johnson, took different jobs in Chicago and in New York with the Jets. And they're no longer here. So you're running with basically a whole new regime. The only people in your staff that haven't changed really are, you know, some of your positional coaches, your strength and conditioning, your head coach. But the people who are calling the plays, the people who are out there putting it all together and putting people in the right spots, they're new. They're new. And when new people are in the mix and they don't know how the old people work, or the old people are in the mix and they don't know how the new people work, things get jumbled. Things are a mess. Things fall by the wayside. And that absolutely could happen with the Detroit Lions come week one, come week two, come week three. They could still not have it all together. They could still be having some trouble assimilating to the new packages that they're running on both sides of the ball, which could be a huge problem. Hopefully they have that all figured out come week one, but there are no guarantees. There are no guarantees whatsoever. First game of the year, they are giving the Packers a 51.1% chance to take down Green Bay in Lambeau Field. This is going to be a 4-25 game next Sunday. you know, there's notable injuries on both sides. Jaden Reed, still questionable, along with safety Xavier McKinney. Two huge names for the Green Bay Packers last year. Aleem McNeil on the PUP, along with Malcolm Rodriguez, both for ACL injuries. We have guys on the NFI and the PUP for undisclosed reasons. And then Ezekiel Turner has a foot injury. Estimated returns could be between December, October, February, all over the place, September. You really have no clue when guys are going to be returning. You just hope that they return. In fact, Green Bay opened this game as 2.5-point favorites in the ESPN betting books. They remain 2.5-point favorites in this game. The over-under line was set at 46.5, and that remains. The Packers are a negative 140 favorite on the money line of the ESPN betting books, while the Lions are just plus 120. So, I mean, obviously not too much of a difference here. They don't think that the Packers are going to far and away run away with it, but they are giving them the benefit of the doubt. And it's probably due to the coordinator situation that I had just mentioned, but that does not mean whatsoever that the Packers will come out on top and the Lions will lose. There's just a lot of questions up in the air about their offense and defense and how things will run. It's one thing when you lose one coordinator, but when you lose both, things really, really change. The Cowboys and the Eagles will kick the season off on Thursday, on my birthday, Thursday, September 4th, 8:20 p.m. NBC and Peacock. Philadelphia, obviously, is where that one's going to go down, at Lincoln Financial Field. The defending champs will look to win a divisional game early on. So many divisional games to start the year. I'm kind of here for it, but I'm also kind of not, you know? Lions-Packers, a divisional game. Chiefs-Chargers, divisional game. Bucks-Falcons, Bengals-Browns, Dolphins-Colts, or Dolphins-Colts, not a divisional game. Giants and Commanders, a divisional game. 49ers-Seahawks. These are great games, but I don't want divisional games this early in the year. Vikings-Bears on Monday to start the season, a divisional game. I'm not sure how I feel about it. It's up in the air. You're starting, you start to get the season on an L there in two different places when you lose that game. Not only do you have an L in the season, but you also have an L in your conference record against a conference team. So then if it comes down to tiebreaker later on in the year, you might be screwed because you lost this game, the very first game of the year, where you've had very little time to warm up. Now, they are professional athletes. Yes, there's preseason, but we all know that's not the same as game speed. Not the same as a true game where the season matters. It's going against your record. You're trying to get into the playoffs. It's a different speed, a different game, a different feel, a different vibe. And guys get penalized for that when you play a conference divisional game to start the year. A conference game, cool. It affects you, but not to the same tune. I would love to see conference games go down week one. That's fine. But divisional games, I'm a little iffy on that because of the way that it can affect you. It could be the reason why you win your division or you don't. It could be the reason why you make the playoffs or you don't. It could be the reason why you slide into the wild card or you don't. It's so impactful to have a divisional game week one, but I'm pretty much just complaining to complain. I think the Lions are in a great shape. I think that's going to be a fun matchup for the both of us. I'm a Packers fan. You guys are all Lions fans. So we're going to be going back and forth all week long talking about whose team is better, why our team should be winning, who we're not afraid of, who we're afraid of, and all of that good jazz. But realistically, it's going to be a fantastic game, and I'm just excited for football to be back. We got one more week before we get into the NFL, but college football hitting the ranks on later today. So when we get back, we're going to talk about the picks. But for now, you know what we're doing. We're going to get you more Mitten Madness after the break on 95.3 WBCK.
WBCK.
Welcome back into Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK. It's time for us to get into our picks. Now, last week, I started the new season off in great fashion. Went 4-2 on the week. Kansas State did drop to Iowa State, and Zhang lost to Walker. But Kansas over Fresno State. Dream beat the Liberty. The Aces beat the Mystics, and Sterling beats Ortega, which gives me a 4-2 record from last week. taking that into this week and hoping to have that continued success as we get more football on these picks. Football is always one of the hardest sports to pick because you absolutely never know who's going to get hurt, what's going to happen, who's going to show up, who's going to have a breakout game, etc. But before we even talk on the gridiron at all, we're stepping inside and staying on the hardwood in the WNBA. One game later today, 10 p.m. on NBA TV and so many other places. Looks like NBA TV, WNBA League Pass, Merck Plus, and a few other selections for streaming. The 24-15 first place or second place in the East, New York Liberty, who are 8-10 on the road, will travel to take on the 24-14 in third place in the West, Phoenix Mercury, who are 13-6 at home. Matchup predictor giving the Liberty a 62.6% chance to win, while the Mercury only have a 37.4% chance to win a home game in PHX Arena in Phoenix, Arizona. In their last five, the Liberty are 3-2. They have dropped games to the Sky and the Dream. Meanwhile, the Mercury are 4-1 in their last five. Their only loss to the Aces, who have been on an absolute tear of recent and have recently won 12 in a row. The Aces are on a 12-game win streak as they're five games behind Minnesota, who's the best team in not only the Western Conference, but the entire WNBA. Meanwhile, Phoenix is on a three-game winning streak. The Liberty are on a two-game winning streak. Phoenix is 7-3 in their last 10. Meanwhile, New York is 5-5. New York dealing with some injuries that may be back for this game. Jonquil Jones, Sabrina Ionescu, Natasha Cloud, and Nayara Sabali are all expected to be game-time decisions for this game, but we do not know. And with that being the case, so many people possibly not playing for the Liberty completely changes their team. Although they do have Breonna Stewart back, I think that the Mercury will simply be too much as they do lead this series 2-1. Mercury won 89-81 on the road back in June. Then they won 106-91 at home in June as well before losing 89-76 on the road in July. This game may come down to the wire. Maybe it won't. Either way, I'm taking the Mercury to come out victorious at home. That's going to get us on to the gridiron for the first time this week. This time, it will be the LSU Tigers, who are ranked 9th in the country, traveling to the other Death Valley in Memorial Stadium, Clemson, South Carolina, to take on the Clemson Tigers. Tigers versus Tigers. Who would have thought? The LSU Tigers have a 46.2% chance to win this game, while the Clemson Tigers are given a 53.8% chance to win this game. Two quarterbacks who are expected to be on the Heisman Trophy list at the end of the year. They're favorites to win the award coming in. Cade Klubnik, who seems to have been at Clemson for forever, going down against Garrett Nussmeier, who had a great season last year, but simply not enough. Clemson Tigers open this game as 4.5-point favorites. They remain 4.5-point favorites. The over-under 57.5 for this game, that just may hit. But the Clemson Tigers are a 190 favorite, while it's just plus 160 on the books for LSU. This game is going to be close. They're expecting it to be close. I'm expecting it to be close. What I think this game will come down to is not quarterback play, but an overall effort. And who gets a little extra help in this game? Clemson. They got the 12th man of that stadium and how loud it is and how tough it is to play. One of the toughest places to play in the entire country. I'm going to give them a slight edge in this game, even though I think that Garrett Nussmeier and the LSU Tigers have tons to be competitive, not only in the SEC this year, but in the entire country trying to make a run for the college football playoff. I just don't think they have enough to beat Clemson. That's going to take us up north a little bit, but not all the way up here to us. We're stopping in a state below us. Texas Longhorns, the number one team in the country, will be in Columbus, Ohio at Ohio Stadium to take on the Ohio State Buckeyes, who are number three in the country. 53.3% chance for Texas to come out on top, 46.7 for the Buckeyes. This game is at noon on Fox for the Fox, a big noon game of the week. Although Ohio State may be the defending champions, they have returned some skill on both sides of the ball. they lost tons of contributors on both sides of the ball. And that is huge. Texas lost some contributors for sure. First round draft picks from both of these teams were gone. But there's a lot more talent coming back for Texas than there is for Ohio State. And I think that is the determining factor here, is the fact that Texas has talent coming back, i.e. Arch Manning is the big name here. He's going to finally get his start at quarterback. And a lot of people are expecting great things from him, but we don't know what to expect from Aaron Nolan, Julian Salen, or any other quarterback that may start for Ohio State. So I think the pressure could help Ohio State a little bit. It's tough to play in Ohio Stadium, but Texas is number one for a reason. I'm not going against them until they give me a reason to. I'm going to take the Texas Longhorns to march into Ohio Stadium up north, come out with a victory, and remain the number one team in the country. Although they are 1.5-point favorites. They're only -115 on the money line, while Ohio State is -105. So this might be the closest game of the weekend. If you aren't watching this one at noon, I actually don't know what you're doing. You should be doing something, and it's watching this game. That's going to get us into our next one. Notre Dame going all the way down to Miami Gardens for Hard Rock Stadium to take on the Miami Hurricanes, 7:30 p.m. tomorrow, Sunday on ABC. The 6th-ranked Fighting Irish, the 10th-ranked Hurricanes. This one's a fairly simple pick for me. 54.9% chance for Notre Dame to come out on top, in comparison just a 45.1% chance for the Hurricanes to win this game. Notre Dame was in the national championship last year. They almost won the national championship. They just happened to run into a juggernaut that was Ohio State at the time. Notre Dame is returning a ton of talent from that team. Most notably, what's his name? Jeremiah Love, a very good running back, along with so many other options on the offensive and defensive end. I don't think that Miami even comes close to competing with Notre Dame. I honestly think that this 2.5-point favorite that they have Notre Dame sitting at and opening at, nowhere near enough. They should be lower than a 130 on the money line. And the plus 110 for Miami should be much higher. That 49.5 for the over-under just might be under. We do not know what's going to happen on the scoreboard. But I do think that Notre Dame will come out on top based off of the talent that they are returning and the fact that Miami has lost all of their contributing talent from last season. Michigan fans, stand up. 2.5% chance for the New Mexico Lobos to come in and shock our Michigan Wolverines. A 97.5% chance, 34.5-point favorites, 49.5 on the over-under. And the money line doesn't even exist because it sounds like they're not giving the Lobos any real shot to win this game. 7:30 p.m. later today, you can listen to it here on WBCK. You can watch it on NBC or Peacock. You can go to it in person. I don't care how you do it, but you know what I'm saying. Give me the Michigan Wolverines. I'm excited to see Bryce Underwood step out onto the gridiron and see what he has on the football field from a college standpoint. I can tell you high school, he was great. His high school team actually lost last night 34-7. I think that tells you just, or 38-7. I think that tells you just how difference, how much of a difference maker Bryce Underwood is. I think he continues to make a difference when he gets onto the football field here in Ann Arbor, and will become the 4th freshman to start at quarterback for Michigan when he takes the field against New Mexico. I'm not in the least bit worried. You know I'm taking Michigan to win this game, and hopefully you are thinking much of the same. Our last pick of the week, I'm making in honor of our good friend, Jacob Harrison, the Alabama Crimson Tide, playing later today at 3:30 p.m. to take on the Florida State Seminoles on ABC. Alabama given a 90.6% chance to win, while FSU is giving just a 9.4% chance. DeBoer says he's very confident in Ty Simpson and what he's going to be able to do. Doak Campbell Stadium is expected to be 76 degrees when kickoff happens. 14.5-point favorites for Alabama Crimson Tides, what they opened at, that's what they remain at. 49.5 over under is still there. A -700 on the money line for the Crimson Tide, plus 450 for Florida State. That's more like what some of these should be, in my opinion. The 8th-ranked Crimson Tide playing the unranked Seminoles. There's tons of questions around the Alabama offense. Are they going to be as good or better without Jalen Milroe? What does Ty Simpson have up his sleeve in order to be just as good or better than Jalen Milroe? And honestly, does Kalen DeBoer have what it takes to be successful at a program like Alabama? Alabama isn't a team where you just walk in and you fix it up. Alabama is a team that's expecting to be in the national championship every single year. They're a team that expects to make the college football playoff and play in the national championship and win most of those national championships. So you can't just throw out any old squad and you can't just call any old plays. Kalen DeBoer definitely has his work cut out for him along with Ty Simpson and the rest of this Alabama team. But I do think that they will go out and handle business against the rebuilding Florida State that we don't know much about in week one, giving them the win. So for this week, I've got the Mercury taking down the Liberty, Clemson taking down LSU, Texas over Ohio State, Notre Dame taking down Miami, Michigan over New Mexico, and Alabama over Florida State. We got tons happening on WBCK this weekend as sports are back into a full swing. This weekend, we got high school football coming up next week. We're going to be out at Sturgis watching the Penfield Panthers take on the Sturgis Trojans. Michigan football playing later today, 7:30 p.m. on the kickoff, 6:30 for the pregame. They're taking on New Mexico. Oklahoma State and Oregon, they're going to be 3:30 on the kickoff here on WBCK. The Ravens and Bills on Sunday at 8:30 for the kickoff on BCK, and along with the Vikings and Bears on BCK, 8 kickoff on Monday the 8th next week. We have no NFL this week, so enjoy your weekend. I'm going to enjoy mine. We'll be back next week with more Mid Madness on 95.3 WBCK.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.